Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Charlie Collar. You just heard him do 2 hours on the Blitz. He's back with us on this Monday as we kick off the week. Hope you all are well. Cam, how are you, my friend? Not good? Bad?
It's
never a good sign when you start with
I'm just still...
What are you mad about?
Long week. Gonna be a long week for me.
Gonna be a long week for you?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Got the trip down to Baton Rouge, so...
Okay.
Still just stressing about that.
Yeah.
Just getting that stuff together.
I hate that you have to go support your little brother.
Yeah, same.
It's unlucky that he accomplished a goal and you have to go and... celebrate with him.
Well, my whole thing is he's going to grad school, so he's going to do this all again. Why do I have to? Yeah,
that's
so. I'm not going to that one. I've already decided mentally.
I think you should just only go to the last one.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. But whatever. I don't know. I got roped into this, and
I hope he's not listening.
Well, he knows I'm supportive of him. He just knows it's a task for me to accomplish getting there.
I would simply text.
It's okay. He's taking care of me. We're going on a party bus to New Orleans, so I don't really like New Orleans, but I'll make it work.
You're doing what now? You're taking a party bus to New Orleans from Baton Rouge
at some point,
like this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, that seems kind of fun.
Seems like a long trip too, doesn't it? Isn't that like an hour and? Half?
Yeah, that sounds like
a
perfect
time. I don't
think it's
quite that long, but...
I thought it was only like 45 minutes, personally.
Yeah, I
want
to say it's like 45 to an hour at most.
I'm not an expert. I've never been, but...
I think you can get there in like 30.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that should be a good time.
Is it going to be like with your family or like with his friends?
I assume it's with his friends, right? Yeah, I think he just, was like, hey, do you want to join? And I was like, sure, why not?
It'd be awkward if he hadn't invited you.
Yeah, I guess.
He gets stuck hanging out with the parents and grandma while he's taking a party bus to New Orleans.
Yeah, he kind of had to, I guess.
That sounds really, really fun.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a good weekend ahead of you.
That would be good, but
also
it's just...
going to a town that has drive-through daiquiris. Like,
I know he hates New Orleans, but like, it's not like you're going to run any saints out there. Like,
honest.
If you see Alvin Kamara, maybe go the other way.
Really
worried. Yeah, I don't want to get assaulted,
actually,
too.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm really, really, really worried about you being intoxicated in New Orleans.
That's true. Maybe your brother should not invite you.
Wait, so you're leaving Friday?
I'm leaving like Wednesday because I have to go pick up my grandma, and then I'm going to spend the night at her place to cut the drive in half and then drive down Thursday morning.
I don't think you know what half means.
Well, not quite in half, but,
you're cutting the drive into
bits.
A fourth, like, at best.
Into a bit.
Or a fifth. Like, isn't it, like, 10 hours to New Orleans and, like, Murfreesboro's, like, 2 hours away?
Once I get to her, no, my grandma's 5 hours away, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought she was, like, at Murfreesboro for some reason.
No, I do have one there, but I'm going to the one that's farther away in Henderson, Tennessee, middle of nowhere out there.
All right, that is more than half then. Okay,
yeah,
never
so I'm
mind.
Getting 5 hours over there and then fair seven enough. From there down to Baton Rouge,
fair
so...
Enough.
I'm gonna make
12
sure.
12 hours,
give you, like,
my God.
Yeah, it's
a
not
longer
be great.
Hug than normal though. Before you make this trip, just in case it's
Please,
a while
I'm,
before we see you again.
I'm stressed about it a little bit. I've never driven that far in my life. So.
When you get to drinking, just don't bring up the times that they tried to cancel you for your hurricane takes, like your tweets when you tweet out mean stuff about them. Like, someone's gonna overhear you. That's gonna have been affected by the hurricane and
like
not
offended.
Think that's funny. So like, that would be my one bit of advice for you.
Just don't
as
instigate
a friend.
Anything, please.
It's going to be tough because that's not who Cam is, but...
And I'm assuming a lot of his friends are probably actually from Louisiana. And
that's what I'm saying. Just leave
like
your sports
you can
fandom
joke around
outside.
With them a little bit, but like, don't just like see a guy wearing like a Saints polo on the street and just be like, yeah, I hope you get hit
so
by
So I shouldn't go in all Falcons apparel.
No, just leave sports. Leave sports at home.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be sports related.
That's true.
This is your brother's time.
Yeah, it's his moment.
Yeah.
Also, I think we should stop expecting like family members to show up to graduations.
I didn't even go to my graduation.
This seems like
why is that still the standard? Like, why can we not just celebrate together as a family at a later date or at a different function and just like send a congrats? Does anyone really care about walking across the stage and getting handed a fake piece of paper? Does anyone really care about watching someone they care about getting a fake piece of paper and walk across a stage with thousands of other people?
Because
I didn't even want to go to my own graduation. I begged my family not to go, so I didn't have to go.
See, the thing is, I
left mine early.
See, the thing is, you ask, like, do people care? I think, yeah, like, the family does care. Like, your family. Like, your parents probably really wanted to see you do it because...
I fell asleep
they probably feel
a significant period of time in my graduation.
The sneaky trick of it is they probably feel like it's more of an accomplishment for them than it was you. Like your graduation is them celebrating, look, honey, we did a good job raising this guy. We got him out of college.
Oh, yeah. I'll be honest, I felt zero sense of accomplishment at graduation.
Right, but your parents probably thought, sure, you know what? Did. Yeah, the degree's probably not going to be worth much, and yeah, Charlie probably could have applied himself a little bit more and like gotten like a gone to law school or you know was doing something else. They could have.
I don't think they were thinking that.
Mine were.
Oh,
mine were. Which is why I didn't bother. We don't have to go to graduation. It's not that important, and it took me a little bit too long, so it's fine.
I was late and left early.
But I will say, like at least for my family, I was the first one to like go to college, so at least like they couldn't give me too much flack. I was just kind of like,
oh, I'm about to sit there so long.
Yeah. Now if I were you, his last name's
a B, so it's gonna be It's gonna be pretty early, and then we're just going to have to sit and wait.
Now, if I were you, I would probably do my best to get sick the day of graduation. Yeah, I'm here for the parties. I'm here for the festivities. I'm drawing the line at actually going into the ceremony.
Some classic.
I hope she's not listening, but I did that. That's what I did for my sister's like high school graduation. I showed up like on time. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit in the car.
Yeah.
So I went and got breakfast instead, and then I was like, had a friend that was in there watching somebody, and their friend was like, hey, text me when it's over. And then I just snuck in, was there for the pictures, like, hey, good job, and acted like I was there for the whole time.
Good call.
Yeah, because I was like, I mean, 300, 400 people graduating high school. I mean, no offense, like, most of us graduate high school. Like, it's not that big of an accomplishment. So, like, I'm not going to go there and clap for you. It's not that hard. Anybody can do it. No offense if you haven't. I'm sure something happened in your life. It wasn't because you just weren't smart enough or you know, you just maybe had to go to work or something. Or
for sure. Things change for some people, but
if you didn't graduate from high school and you're offended, I believe in you. I'm not. I think you could have graduated from high school, but you just had other things in your life that
other
were more
circumstances,
important. Right. Wasn't your lack of ability. I believe in you. So yeah, if I were you, I would try to get sick or like make that a compromise of like
what if you get sick and then they're like, oh, I guess you can't go on the party bus either.
I guess I was thinking the party bus would be before, but I guess it's definitely going to be the night of graduation.
Well,
right?
No, it's like the day after. I got a whole text this morning of times.
So you got a whole day
events.
To be better. You just got to think of something that's like a 24-hour thing.
Just stomach
food poisoning.
Yeah. You ain't got to go away with food poisoning. They might expect you to like be throwing up if you have food poisoning. Mine's always just like my stomach hurts. I'm going to be in the bathroom the whole time anyway, so I'm staying. And then no one really asks any questions because no one wants to be with somebody that has to stop and poop all the time. So just be like, hey, my stomach hurts. This food ain't sitting right with me. That's my go-to move. I always stop short of food poisoning because then they expect you to be throwing up and stuff. And I'm like, nah, I just don't feel good.
Fair enough.
So that would be my play if I were you.
You could fake an injury.
The whole thing is I always tell people that I don't get sick and I don't break bones and stuff. So I really have limited my excuse options throughout my lifetime.
Well, then maybe ear infection? Swimmer's ear?
I do get those.
Maybe just be a man and be like, I'm not going.
I could.
I'm here. I'm celebrating you.
I'm good.
I'll be here afterwards. I can't wait to go to New Orleans with you, but I'm not going to sit in there for 3 hours. Maybe just do that.
I 3 hours sounds like that may not even be as long. I feel like it could be longer than that. I don't know.
I feel like 3 hours is probably on the long side of it. But again, I don't know. I didn't go to mine.
I don't know how many people are, you know, cycling through this.
Because despite what people think, I don't actually like being the center of attention. So I didn't want people to like have to come like inconvenience themselves to watch me like and try to come up here. I was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. So I hope you figure it out.
Yeah, I gotta oof.
Maybe you should maybe you should try to conspire with your grandma, but she's probably gonna want to see your baby up there and clap.
Yeah.
So maybe keep your plan to yourself because she'll probably be mad at you for
I feel
seven
like
by hours.
If I avoid the graduation too, they're gonna be like, oh, you're jealous of him, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I get the whole spin zone, probably.
Yeah, you do have to walk that tightrope as well.
Yeah, so I'll play it by ear. I'll figure it out.
Maybe your best moment is to try to conspire with Carson.
Mm.
Get intern Carson on it. Because I'm sure at his age, he doesn't want to go sit in 5 hours of graduation either.
That's true.
Just be like, I'll stay with Carson. We'll meet you at dinner at lunch. We'll go get the table. We'll go get the
– Yeah.
We'll handle that.
Just set up the party early, whatever
you
guys do.
Whatever you got to do, but we got this here.
From what little I know about Carson, I feel like he could come up with a really good scheme to get both of you out of this.
Probably. They're probably more willing to believe his scheme as well. So
it's true. then they're going to be like, actually, Cam's a bad influence and on you, Carson. Be more like Chandler and less like Cam. Charlie, how was your weekend? How are you?
Oh, man. A lot happened this weekend.
I was texting someone yesterday, and they asked how my weekend was, and I was like, I'm just happy it's over. I'm ready to get back to work.
Exhausted.
I was like, this weekend sucked.
You had the opposite of Sunday scaries?
Yeah. They're like, this is the first time I've heard that. I was like, yeah, I just want to get back to a schedule. This weekend was miserable.
So you're kind of the same as me. Like, I was in Nashville doing stuff Friday night, like playing in a golf tournament that started at 1 p.m. too.
Oh, my God.
Which was a terrible time. And then I also was like drinking some liquor during it and ended up not drunk, just dehydrated.
That's the worst when you're drinking, but you can't get where you need to go. So then it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. And
how'd you play?
Actually, we played pretty good.
Didn't win, though?
No, we finished T6.
I assume you did not hit a hole in one and win $1 million either.
Okay. So the hole in one challenge
wasn't real.
So you had to win the long putt contest to then get a chance at the hole-in-one shootout.
Wait, say that again?
So you had to buy entries into a long putt challenge.
Okay, and then the winner got to try to hit a hole-in-one for $1 million.
If anyone made this, whoever made the long putt, however many times you made the long putt, got an opportunity to hit for a hole-in-one and win $1 million. Yeah. So
okay,
I bought tickets into the long putt contest because, you know, I couldn't help myself.
Sure.
And I show up to the putting green where they have the long putt challenge.
How much was the tickets to get into the long putt?
$5.
Okay. How many did you buy?
Six.
So just $30 down the drain right there.
Yeah, just burned it, basically. At least it went to, you know, Centennial football, I think. But
sure, yeah. Next time you need $30, Becky, at least I helped the football program.
At least someone has half of a new helmet now.
Yeah.
They set up this putt. Whoever the insurance company is that it was back in the $1 million had to be the ones that set this putt up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a putt that broke right to left, then back left to right. Started beneath a hill, went up a hill, and then back down a slope. And the hole was in the middle of the downslope.
It sounds confusing.
It was the hardest putt I've ever tried.
Did anyone make it?
One person made it. I burned the edge a couple times. People were like that got multiple tries, like kind of came close, but from a physics standpoint, it was almost an impossible putt.
So one person made it.
Yeah.
And then they got a shot for $1 million on a.
And they didn't even take him to a par three. They just took him to the fairway of 18, okay, and from 165 away, because that's like their championship hole that has like the water and the island green. And they made everyone watch him and yell at him. They said, everyone, we want you loud and harassing him.
That's sad.
Yeah. And then he got one shot from 165 and hit it in the water. And no one won $1 million. And then we just played some golf and we.
Oh, so they did that before?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was also weird. But
I guess that makes sense because after you finish, maybe you just leave and they want to raise as much money as possible. So
we parred 12 through 17, and that was really what lost it for us. We finished at 11 under. The winner was 16 under.
Okay.
They also had a silent auction after, and I don't think they knew how to set up a silent auction because they started all of the bids way too high.
Uh-huh.
And no one bid on anything. It was really funny.
Okay.
It was like the bidding on calling the first offensive play of the game in like a game against like Lincoln County. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds fun. And then I looked at it and it was like starting bid, $250. I was like, no one's gonna pay that, guys.
Last silent auction I was in, I won, and then I never actually got to cash in when I won. So I need to get in touch with somebody who owns the Dominoes. There's some in Athens, there's some up here in Knoxville. I had the list of locations, but conveniently for them, COVID hit right before I got to cash in. Then I felt bad. I was like, you know, they're maybe worried about going out of business. This isn't
Domino's
going well.
Worried about going out of business?
Well, I mean, like local ones. And who knows? Like, you didn't know how bad COVID was at the beginning, but you're like, you know, there's definitely like, you know, going to be uncertainty. Is now the time for me to call and get 20 free pizzas? Like, it feels like now is the wrong time to take advantage of 20 free pizzas. So then I kept putting it off and putting it off. I tried to like reach out to the person, like to try to set it up, but then never got a response.
Do you have to get all 20 at once?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But see, I bought them because originally I was doing like a big party for like Vanderbilt, Tennessee. We had a porch, mm-hmm, you know, in the 2020 season, and then COVID got us.
Well, no one bid on the silent auctions, but yeah, then Saturday, like, got to go out with all my buddies back home, and then
nice.
Yesterday, I got to go to the Belmont baseball game for my, like, best friend's senior day.
Nice.
He got to pitch, got the save.
Nice.
I think he broke, like, some career records there.
Good for him.
And he got to bring his dog out, too, with him on senior day. I thought that was cool. So it was a good weekend, but I am exhausted and just dehydrated.
Well,
how was yours?
Long. Yeah. Glad it's over. Happy to be here.
Was B&D good?
Brooks and Dunn was good. They were solid.
Morgan Wade, good?
She was good. The Applebee's guy, he was fine.
Did he do the Applebee's song?
What do you mean, did he do the Applebee's song? Of course he didn't.
People boo him?
No, people loved that song.
Is there anyone that actually likes that song?
Yeah. The people next to me loved it.
Really?
Yeah,
I legitimately.
A bunch of moms.
Were
just like,
talking about like the Applebee's like commercial. Because
you like Applebee's on a
It was a real song
night.
Before they like made it a commercial. Yeah. It got famous on TikTok.
Like he just wrote that song. Was just like, yeah, I like this. This is the next
then
one.
Then he brought all his kids on stage to like do the dance.
I would have booed him and his family off the stage.
Nice little trick. Leave you feeling good. And you bring six kids out and they're dancing. They all
he has some other kids. Did he sing like Shut Up, Kenny?
I don't know, man.
90s country.
I don't know any of the songs that I don't know. Yeah, he did 90s country. Or he said he was, but I don't remember any
his
of
voice
it.
Sucks.
I have no strong takes on him. He seemed like a nice guy.
I think he's a
guy.
Nice guy, great songwriter. Besides the Applebee's song, voice sucks.
I got no opinions on him.
But I didn't know that there were people that really liked the Applebee's song.
Yeah.
I thought we all agreed.
Got popular just randomly? Like that song got really popular.
I thought it got popular as like kind of like everyone hates it. Like,
no.
Look how awful this song is. And no. Then it just was kind of like a joke.
I think it's
like
the opposite.
Meme,
I think
almost.
People liked it and then it got really popular through Applebee's and then people started hating it, I think.
Like, I thought that was one of the things that we as Americans kind of sort of universally agreed upon was that that song was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
no, I don't think so. Yeah. Let's go to break. Had some game sevens. Ball stay number one. Did they get all the spots back in the number one ranking? Let's see if we can get those together because I know a lot of the top teams lost their series this weekend. So I'd imagine Tennessee got all the number one spots. See if you can track that down as we dive into the weekend that was in sports. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Chuckles, what is the sports story of the day?
There's so many.
So many? Okay,
there
well, give
are so
me
so many.
What's the biggest?
I think it's got to be Albert Pujols making his first career appearance last night as a pitcher.
How'd he do?
42. Gave up his career ERA is now 36.
Okay.
But he got him the finish line.
All right.
It was really funny to watch. But I don't know. I kind of feel like your sports story of the day is, even though it happened, I guess, in the front half of the weekend, would be Tennessee beating Georgia in a series and winning the SEC championship outright.
Nah, I mean,
I guess that's more of our local story. But
yeah, I mean, even that felt a little anticlimactic. I guess in my head I had the magic number wrong, and then I see we're celebrating an outright championship. I was like, wait, I thought this was just for a tie, but my math was wrong. And then you go out and play Saturday, and you don't play very well. Didn't really matter, of course. We know we had the SEC wrapped up. But, I mean, to me, it had to be one of the game sevens, if not both of them, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right.
It was a bad end to an otherwise really good season for Chris Paul and the Suns. And, man,
embarrassing.
There are very few athletes that people like making fun of more than Chris Paul.
I don't get that.
Well, I don't want to like completely rewrite history on him because he was pretty hateable for a lot of his career, especially like with the Clippers. Like, I mean, he was very, very hateable. We all kind of agreed it was cool what he did with the Thunder, that the COVID year in 2020, where like he got there, sent there, sent to Alcatraz. You thought his career was going to basically end, be a whimper, and he rallies the boys. And, they end up getting, the 4 seed, the 5 seed, whatever it was?
Yeah,
he took a team that should have been tanking, and he made them good. So I think at that point we all kind of like, okay, that's cool. Good for him. Good for Chris Paul. Even with Phoenix last year, it was kind of cool. Like, okay, look at this out of nowhere. Look at the old man still getting it done. But then, somewhere between that moment of them being the Lakers in the first round last year. To this series, they just became really, really, hateable. And they make the mistake of, having the clip where you could kind of point back to where they're mocking another player, a star player. You know, I think back to your boy, D. Wade, and LeBron doing that to Dirk in the 2011 finals.
I still think about that moment and cringe and get angry.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we know, armed with the results, that eventually they won two titles, so it was okay. Like, that won't be their lasting legacy by any means, because again, they won two titles and LeBron went on and won a third one, and they're good. Their reputation is Teflon. But they mocked Dirk and his cough, then Dirk whipped their ass. Mm-hmm. After game two, you had Chris Paul and Devin Booker sitting up there talking about Luka's defense and kind of smirking at it when asked questions about his defense. And then from that moment on, Luka pretty much kicked their ass. And, like, it really lacked self-awareness. I don't know if it's Father Time. I don't know if it's, like, all of a sudden a mysterious quad injury that popped up. But, like, Chris Paul, he ain't the all-defensive Chris Paul from, like, 2015 anymore. And Devin Booker, I don't think, has ever been that guy. So, like, then the Mavericks took turns just, like, you know, picking on those guys defensively. Yep. After game two, you know, they're sitting up there laughing at someone else's defense. Then they're like, okay, we're just going to abuse you then. And Chris Paul played terribly offensively. You have Pat Bev calling him a traffic cone on ESPN this morning saying he can't guard anybody. Devin Booker, of course, is the poster boy for being a front runner, a tough guy, like Luka said, when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Game five, he's trying to puff his chest out, take the ball from Luka after a dead ball. Trolling him after a foul, saying it's a Luka special as he's trying to sell it. And then from that point on, got his ass absolutely whipped by Luka. A lot of people think I hate Luka because of the Hawk stuff. I don't hate Luka. I wanted Luka badly.
I don't either,
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like,
what are your thoughts about that trade, like, looking back? Like,
Luka's better. I mean, Luka is the generational guy you thought. Now, I do still think he has questions on his defense. And, like, we'll see, because they should definitely, in my opinion at least, I know the gambling gods say differently, but, like, they should beat Golden State, in my opinion.
I don't know how they match up.
I mean, I think that Golden State just isn't very good on the perimeter in defense. Like, I don't think they have anybody that can guard Luka. Like, I don't think Draymond can guard Luka. And
we'll
I know Steph
Wiggins
Curry.
On him, I guess.
I mean, Wiggins maybe is their best bet, but, like, we know in the NBA, like, mm-hmm. If you are set to guard someone, it's not that easy in the playoffs because they're going to get switches, and, like, he should be able to pick on Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, like, whenever he wants, and Jordan Poole as well. So I think the Mavericks should win this upcoming series.
But do you not think the Warriors just have too many scorers for the Mavs, though?
I think the Mavs showed me, like, their defense. I mean, we didn't really take them seriously as a defensive threat, but they had the eighth best half-court defense in the regular season, and, you know, they shut down Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges, so I'm not saying they're going to shut down Curry and Klay and Poole, but, like,
they shut them down in the back half of the series, but they're also giving up, like, 60-something percent shooting in the first couple games.
They were, so,
like,
but they figured it out, though.
They figured it out in that specific series, but, I mean, I think it's not unreasonable to think that the Warriors can take something from those first two games and play really well against the
Mavs. Oh, no, for sure. Like, and Golden State's favored. Like, I think they're, like, minus 210, minus 230 to win the series. Like, I'm not saying that Golden State can't handle Dallas. You know, people think they're going to, but I look at that match and I'm just like, Luka's the best player in that series. And if you tell me that Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie are going to play well, like, they have two other ball handlers that can attack the rim. Like, Dinwiddie found his shot the last two games, and they looked a lot better. So I look at that Dallas team, and it's every bit of a coin flip to me, and they should have all the confidence. And again, I don't think you make the argument that right now, in May of 2022, that they have the best player in the series. Luka's better than Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree.
So
he's the best player left in the playoffs, probably. I mean, there are people that might pick Jason Tatum, and, like, you can.
Yeah, I'd probably still pick Tatum, but, I mean, it's a tie. I don't think you can. If you're picking Tatum, I don't think you could do so with a lot of, like, reasons why, other than, like, he plays both ways in defense. But what Luka does offensively is just special. But, like, Tatum deserves his credit from Friday. I know we won't talk much about it because it was on Friday and we're here on a Monday. But, like, what he did in Game 6 in Milwaukee was legendary. I mean, that was an iconic moment. They could have easily blown that lead when it got down to 4 after Giannis hits that 3. And then Tatum just kept coming back and hit jumper after jumper. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. Luka's the best in the West. Tatum's the best in the East. And I hate the Celtics. It would be bad for my personal well-being if Luka does win a championship this year. But I don't dislike Luka. That's the guy we thought he was going to be coming out of, like, the draft.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because the guy that got drafted over him, DeAndre Ayton, played 17 minutes last night. And that's tough. Because, like, I think up until the series, like, you could defend that pick and say, yeah, we get it. A good center, still very, very valuable. And look at him. And he went to college right down the road. But, yeah, I mean, you would think Luka took a little pleasure into dissecting his team.
Oh, absolutely. Luka's a bad man.
He is.
He's a gamer. He's a gamer.
And, you know, he continues to hold a pretty big lead in elimination points per game. I mean, he showed up. And the thing was, he didn't really have to do much after the first quarter. Yeah. I mean, he
could have casually dropped 50 on them.
He could have. He could have. But we all come together, and I guess we're back to just really hating Chris Paul, which is fine with me. There was a part of me that wanted to see him win a championship last year.
I wanted to see him win a championship last year.
This year, I didn't feel that way, though. This year, I didn't want the Suns to win.
I wanted him to win a championship if the Heat weren't going to.
Okay.
I really like Chris Paul. I was sad to see how he just kind of fell apart in the playoffs this year. Yeah. I really just want him to find his championship.
I just really – like, if you talk about people I actually dislike, I dislike Booker.
I dislike Booker, yeah. too. I think he's soft. Yeah. And you know, he was a guy that was likable 3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. See, I didn't even really like him 3 years ago. That's when he was crying about, like, getting double-teamed and pick-up basketball.
Oh,
and
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if he's ever been likable.
Where they're like,
obviously wasn't likable at Kentucky.
Right, and where they're going out of his way, like, in a blowout loss to, like, get him 60 points or whatever it was he scored. How many points did he score that game? 70? Did he get 70?
I think he got 70 that one.
Yeah.
That was hilarious, though.
But I know, but they're going, like, out of their way to do it, yeah. And they're, like, taking a picture as if they were, like, just won a championship. And I was like, he's always kind of been a loser to me. But then, you know, they become winners, and he is a big-time front runner that's acting as if he's the reason they're winning. And I think we saw the last couple games what Devin Booker looks like whenever Chris Paul's not there to carry the load. Because it wasn't like Devin Booker's looking around saying, Chris, come on, help me. It was like, oh, man, neither one of us can do anything. We both stink. I don't know if that's the window, like, slamming shut on the Phoenix Suns, but it feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, with how many good young teams there are in the West and teams that have an upward trajectory, their trajectory doesn't feel upwards. I mean, you hope that maybe they're, you know, if you're them, you can at least like keep it at a plateau and think, hey, we were the best team in the NBA. Like maybe we can tweak a couple things and be better next year, but you don't know what the future looks like with Ayton. You certainly don't have the same confidence in Chris Paul or Devin Booker. So I have no idea what you do if you're Phoenix.
I think Booker is going to be fine. Like I don't think he's going to like fall off a cliff or anything. Like I mean, he's young. Either. He's good. Like I don't know if he can be a number one on a good team though. And like
that's what I'm saying. Like a little bit less confidence now.
But they already have $128 million, almost $129 million in salary, and that's before a DeAndre Ayton extension that's going to be at least $30 million a year. Their owner is one of the cheapest in the history of sports. Do we think he is going to pay $160 million getting the luxury tax and get, you know, big hit there financially? It would be the first time that he'd kind of, you know, has done that. So I don't know, like, what they do with DeAndre. And I don't know what they do because for as good as he was at times this season and in the New Orleans series, like, Mikal Bridges, that was a tough series for him, too. Like, he played terribly and as we just talked about with Luka, like for a guy that finished second in defensive player of the year votings, like Mikal Bridges kind of got exposed a little bit because he had absolutely nothing for Luka. And the last two games had nothing for Dinwiddie or Brunson either. So they're out. Chris Paul says, like, hey, I ain't retiring. I'll be back. 37, though. And like,
it's not going to get better.
No, his best days are behind him for sure. I don't know exactly how the team gets better, though. They're already kind of maxed out, like, you know, salary, obviously. So I don't know what they do other than, like, maybe trying to find a signing trade partner for DeAndre Ayton. But then at that point, like, I don't know what you do at center because you just try to bring McGee back on a cheap contract and, like, let him be a starting center. That isn't something that's going to work. So felt like the end of their championship window.
Tough scene for JaVale McGee.
Was a tough scene for JaVale.
Well, they got me now, so they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Although he like ranks very, very low on the list of reasons. No one will even think about JaVale McGee's comments because he's JaVale McGee.
I love JaVale McGee.
He's had an interesting career arc. He's had an interesting career arc.
Yes.
If you're the Suns and you're trying to find a sign and trade for DeAndre Ayton, what kind of player are you looking for in return? Like, you think you want another center, or do you want to add something else?
I don't know. Like, it feels like you need to upgrade the Jay Crowder spot.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know how exactly you do that.
Yeah, I don't know who's out there for you.
If you're the Phoenix Suns, Charlie, and this is just something I've had in my mind because I know, like, the fans are kind of interested in the possibilities, but like if you are Phoenix, do you feel like you get closer to a championship or further away from a championship if you do a DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder trade for Clint Capella and John Collins? So like you keep a center and you get more of a power forward.
I wouldn't do that if I were the Hawks. I would 100% do that if I were the Suns.
I think the Hawks would probably do it because like DeAndre Ayton fits the timeline with Trey and like they don't really want to pay John Collins $30 million a year, I don't think, moving forward. And, like, Jay Crowder only has 1 year left on his contract, so, like, you probably don't even want to play Capella, like, for 4 years either. So, like, I think that would be something that the Hawks would maybe look at doing.
I think,
but outside of that, like, I don't know what other options they would have. Like,
Capella and Collins would make a lot of sense on the Suns, though. Like, that would just fit their identity, their play style really well. I think that would be a good compliment to, like, Chris Paul.
Like a Jay Crowder, McCall Bridges for Tobias Harris move doesn't seem to make sense. For like you'd rather have Bridges, but like I don't know what they're trying to do here. Like I don't know what the pieces are because it's going to be
maybe
no one's going to take the spare parts of like Jay Crowder and Dario Saric. Like no one wants them. You're not going to be able to upgrade by doing that. So like you're going to have to.
You have to move one of the guys, yeah.
And it would probably be
the
Ayton.
Only one.
You're not going to trade Booker. I mean,
maybe like
you could trade Paul, but like I don't know who's going to give up big stuff for him. At 37.
Yeah, especially after this, the way he looked this past series. Yeah.
That's one of the all-time collapses, though. I mean, like, what you saw last night, if you watched it, or if you're just reading about it now and you see how badly they got beat, but that team.
I mean, that's got to be the, like, most embarrassing. One of them, obviously one of the, but I think that's, like, at least the one I've seen. I don't remember the other most embarrassing Game 7 losses.
Oh, if you're just limiting it to Game 7, sure. I want to say there's been some because when you add that it's like when you add that it's a home blowout, like that changes things, obviously.
I think that makes it so much worse. And even though the margin at the end of the game wasn't record setting or anything like that, I think it's still just was more embarrassing throughout the game.
When I think of the elimination game, like the only other thing that stands out to me is you could point to, like, I remember the Lakers when they got absolutely demolished by the Celtics in 2008 in their Game 6. But, like, that was a championship team at home clinching out that was better. That, you know, Boston and the Lakers were equal title favorites in that series. I mean, I don't remember what the point spread was, but it wasn't some huge upset. But to see a 64-win team in the regular season not make it to the conference finals, Cam, that's only ever happened one time in history. And the other time it happened was very, very embarrassing, and it was when Golden State actually like demolished that Mavericks team. So like the Mavericks were on the right side of it this time. In that Game 6 when the 8-seeded Warriors beat up on the Mavericks, they beat them 111-86. So like it was pretty embarrassing
too.
But again, it wasn't at home. But those are the only two examples. Like that's the only other example I have. Like again, the Celtics beat the Lakers down in Game 6 of 2008, but at least it was in the garden. That one's ugly, man.
It didn't feel real, really, the whole time.
I gotta be honest. I didn't watch any of it.
I was.
By the time I was like ready to tune in, like it was a blowout. I was like, I'll just keep waiting to see if it gets closer. And
was getting out of hand. I was like, oh no!
I was driving home from that Belmont game, and I was gonna get back at like halftime, and I was like asking my buddy, I was like, hey, like first quarter, like should be about over. Like, what's the score? And I just thought he was messing with me.
So you asked your friends the score instead of just checking like the app?
No, he was riding with me because I was driving and didn't want to be on my phone, you know?
No, yeah, I got you now. Sorry.
Yeah, and it really didn't feel real that Luka just casually tied the Suns at halftime.
Yeah.
It was just Luka 27, Suns 27.
Yeah, that's They're getting booed off the floor, which they deserve to get booed off the floor. Let's go to break. We'll talk about the other Game 7 afterwards. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We had another Game 7. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really close either. But that's the beautiful thing about Game 7s is that, like, even when they're not close, they feel important. And one of the breakout stars, who will probably be a legend now forever in the city of Boston, Grant Williams. His status in that city are good now forever. The Bucks were just like, hey, we're going to dare you to shoot. And he's like, okay. And then he just kept hitting threes. And next thing I look up, and they show the score. They show his stats. I'm like, wait a second. He shot 18 threes? They flashed at the end of the game, 7 of 18. I was like, wait a second. What? He shot 18 threes?
Yeah, I saw that number. I was blown away by that.
He tied Steph Curry for the most threes in a Game 7 ever? What the hell?
Like we always say, Grant Williams and Steph Curry, best shooters in the playoffs.
I mean, Grant's stats these years, you know, his shooting percentage was good. So, I mean, like, it's not necessarily surprising that if they're going to leave him wide open, he has developed into a reliable shooter. But he had struggled for a lot of this series, at least, you know, in the middle part of the series, but, you know, broke out of it and was stroking. Led the team in scoring, 27 points. A legendary performance for Grant Williams. And, you know, again, everyone kind of around the league praising him. He was the talk of the game, really. I mean, because Tatum was good but didn't really have to do much. I mean, he had a casual 23 points and 8 assists and 6 boards, 7 of 14, 5 of 9 from the 3-point line. A pretty pedestrian game by his standards, which is a compliment to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, no one else really had to do much. Like, Marcus Smart and Al Horford didn't play very well, but they didn't have to because Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard picked up the slack. And the Bucks were just kind of outmanned.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen their title defense with Chris Middleton being healthy. But I will give Boston credit. And, you know, one of the biggest compliments you can give a team is that they weren't scared. You know, you talk about not ducking the smoke, right? Like mm-hmm. Memphis talked about that. Like Boston put it to the test. Like while other teams were kind of resting and tanking at the end of the regular season to kind of avoid the Nets and make sure they're healthy, the Celtics were like, nope, we want the 2 seed. We're going hard for the 2 seed. And they didn't rest. They kept playing. They got the 2 seed. They drew the Nets. They knocked out the Nets, and then because they were the 2 seed, they got to be at home in Game 7. Mm-hmm. And obviously being at home in Game 7 allows people like Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams to ball out because we know role players play better at home.
Yep.
And Boston's role players played well, and none of Milwaukee's really did, and that's the difference in the game. And now the title defense is over, and, you know, how do you feel if you're a Bucks fan right now, Cam? Is it just strictly like, hey, if we had Chris Middleton, we win this, and like, hey, it's all it is? Or is it like, wow, Giannis has been otherworldly good for like the last 3 years, and like we don't really like go very deep in the playoffs very often. And like we won last year, but maybe because like the Nets got hurt.
Yeah, I think you probably talked yourself into, oh, it was kind of because of Middleton. But also I think you're like, man, we need to get him some help. Like nobody else could do anything on that team outside of him.
Yeah.
And – yeah, maybe Middleton there helps open up a couple other guys. But
I think it does. I mean, Middleton being there would help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. But still, I don't think that would have been enough to get over the hump last night or yesterday during the day.
I don't know. I'll go back and forth with that because, like, Game 7, I know they got blown out, but when you lose in 7,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to tell me that, like, Chris Middleton wouldn't have changed one of those losses. Games,
yeah. Yeah, you probably would have won one of the – like, I think yesterday you Boston won game was just six locked in. But, yeah, I think, yeah, you would have won one of the earlier series games probably and been fine. But I think you just like, yeah, you got to get some help. Get some shooters, I think, is another big thing just because, I mean, what was that? One point it was like Boston hit like 21 threes and they had hit 4.
They finished the game 4 for 33.
Yeah. Like,
and
oh
Boston hit, you know, I think set a record, hit 22 threes. Mm. I think that was a postseason record.
Yeah,
and
one of the bench guys came and hit one late. I didn't remember that.
After, like, looking like he had, like, ripped his shoulder out of socket.
Yeah.
He then came back in, like, after a timeout and hit a three. Whoever the hell M. Fitz is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
They went 22 of 55, which is absurd that they shot 55 threes, but mm-hmm. also they shoot 40%. And, you know, when you lose, Charlie, what is 18 times 3?
Don't do that to me.
When you lose that many points from the three-point line, like, you're going to get blown out.
54.
There you go. Nailed it.
I had to subtract 3, do 3 times 15, because I can think about that in touchdowns where every other is a 2-point conversion.
Okay.
And then I had to add the 3 field goals.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
54.
Why wouldn't you just done 3 times 20 and then taken 6 from it?
I wouldn't have thought about that, honestly.
Okay. I mean, if it's 18, you know, you could just, instead of going back 3, you could have went up.
I guess, I could have gone 3 touchdowns where you miss an extra point.
I guess so. Or just 18, get stuck in field goal range, just have to kick field goals the whole time.
You're having a Rob Ronas versus the Texans, like 2007 kind of day?
Yeah.
2006, whatever year that was.
What a game that was. We had like 7 field goals that game.
Yeah, he broke the record at the time.
We needed every one of them.
I watched with my grandma. It was a fun game.
We needed every one of them. So, like, if you're Milwaukee, I don't know what you do to change. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just like, hey. I will say at the very least, like, I know it was kind of a forgotten trade, but seemed like they maybe could have kept White Dante around.
Yeah.
They traded him for Ibaka, and, like, Ibaka didn't play at all.
Yeah.
I know he was insurance for Brooke Lopez's injury, but like Ibaka didn't do anything for you the entire series, the entire playoffs. And you needed extra help on the wing, and DiVincenzo, I mean, I know he's not great, but he's a solid player, and it seemed like they missed him. Yeah. Seems like they missed him for sure, especially when you're having to throw out, you know, Wes Matthews and Grayson Allen in the starting lineup, and those guys combine to go 1 of 11 and give you 4 points.
They need like a Seth Curry kind of guy or a Joe Harris, something like that.
Which, if you're them, they're like, hey, we tried to get Bogdanovich a couple years ago. And but,
he came to a better team.
Think that's accurate. They won a championship. But
yeah, we should have beat them.
I should have beat them. That is accurate. I will say, like, what my one major takeaway or one of my major takeaways from this series is, like, man, it's nice when you win a championship. Because I feel like after, and it's going to be crazy to say about someone who had 25 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists, but, like, Giannis came out in the first quarter and was on fire, and then he was terrible pretty much after that. And no one's criticizing him because, like, whatever. You proved it last year. Like, he's Teflon now. Like, when you do what he did in the finals last year, you don't have to necessarily come out and win it the next year. We all know Giannis is spectacular, but if he didn't have that championship under his belt, we'd be crushing him for the way he came out and got, you know, shut down, relatively speaking, after the first quarter. We've been killing him. But instead, we're just going, it's fun. He's a champion.
Yeah, I mean, part of it has to probably do with the game after that being Chris Paul and Devin Booker combining for 21 points.
That's fair. Yeah. And then not hitting a field goal, you know, for the first, what? I think Booker didn't get his first field goal until the 5-minute mark of the third quarter.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Their big three, quote unquote, were 0 for 11, I think, for the first half, or at least for the most part of the first half. You know, Ayton, Paul, and Booker. So you're probably right, Charlie. It does help.
And then again, like you guys were just talking about, Chris Middleton being out also helps. Mm-hmm. Like, that just takes a lot of pressure off of him. I'm surprised maybe more people weren't talking about, like, Drew Holiday being pretty up and down this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, funny because
I thought you would get more out of him.
He single-handedly, like, won that – well, defensively single-handedly won that game 5 for them.
Yeah.
The block on Smart, throwing it off of him, getting the steal at the end of the game, getting the offensive rebound. Or no, he didn't get the offensive rebound. Bobby Portis got the offensive rebound. But, you know, Holiday was pretty good at the end of game 5, but then, didn't really bring it in game 6. Yeah, and
he needed to step up with Middleton out and just didn't do it offensively.
I think he's more of a 3 than a 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's your, you know, you obviously can win a championship if he's your 3rd best player, but not if he's your 2nd. That's just a tough shooting night, though. 4 for 33. Mm-hmm. So I do want to give Boston credit. Jason Tatum, like I said, legendary in game 6. Didn't have to be in game 7. That was the Grant Williams show. M.A. Udoka changed that culture. It's one of the best in-season turnarounds you'll ever see. You know, they were pretty trash by the end of December, and then became maybe the best team in the league, and I think they should win a championship.
It is so funny to me that Tennessee fans, though, and Boston fans are just going to have this bond over Grant Williams now.
Yeah.
To, like, if like a Tennessee fan just, like, went to Boston, they could just walk into a sports bar, start talking about Grant Williams, and probably get themselves, like, a beer. just because those two fan bases should not have much crossover at all.
People kept asking me yesterday, too. I was at work, like, oh, you're cheering for Boston, right? And I was like, no, not at all.
No.
And they were so excited, like, happy about it. I'm just like, no, this doesn't do anything for me. Sorry.
I was happy to see Grant Williams play well, and I hope that he doesn't play well again in the year, or I guess in the month of May. I hope that he is 0 for 8 on Tuesday and 0 for 9 on Thursday.
You better hope Game 7 isn't in June, buddy.
Is that?
Nah, I wouldn't think it'd be. I think it would.
It's like 15 days from now, right?
Yeah, no, but every other day, I mean, seven games.
You get close. Seven, yeah.
Oh, that could, that could be really close. Did I just curse myself there?
Maybe. Better hope it doesn't go 7.
I mean,
it's cool to see Grant's success, but
nope,
like.
We're good. May 29th.
There you go. I haven't found myself like really like fully rooting for him just because I do hate Boston, but it's nice to see Grant making big plays in the playoffs.
I actually don't hate Boston at all, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I do.
That checks out. Hard to hate teams when you're a casual fan of your own team.
I hate the Sixers a lot.
What? But you have that in common with Sixers fans. They hate the Sixers
like,
as
that's
well.
That's where I've honestly directed most of my basketball hate is the Sixers, okay. The Lakers.
Yep.
Wherever KD goes.
So now the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets now. Well, I knew that.
No, I was just saying the team.
Other than that, like there isn't a lot of hate for me in the basketball world.
A big takeaway is just basically, you know, we knew it going into the playoffs, but to me, the East was just, you know, just deeper and better.
Mm-hmm.
Think whoever wins the Eastern Conference Finals wins the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think both Boston and Miami is better than – now, you know, injuries aside, but, like, if you're Boston, there might be something to the idea. Like, if let's just say Miami takes you to Game 7 again, like, you might run out of gas just because if you're Boston. Like, that Milwaukee series was physical. That Milwaukee series, like, everyone was diving for balls. Everyone was playing hard. Like, I don't know how much fatigue takes place in basketball, but if I'm a Heat fan – I'd feel pretty good about having home court and having like a relatively easy series last round against Philadelphia compared to what Boston had.
We've got rest the last two series.
Right.
Which like they, you know, they swept the Nets, so like they got to rest before that Bucks series, but
yeah. I mean, you only went to 5 with the Hawks, so it wasn't like they, you know, really was sweating that one.
And now we've had what? It was Thursday, so we'll have 6 days off.
But even though you had to play 6 games against the Sixers, like those 6 games for the Sixers against the Sixers were nothing compared to the 7 games against Milwaukee where Giannis is just running at you nonstop. Like Embiid missed the first 2 games and Embiid wasn't that guy, you know, after when he came back. So I'm like, it was, and, you know, James Harden ain't running for no loose balls. They had a battering ram just running at them for 7 games. The more I talk about it, I mean, I don't know because Boston's defense is so good. I got worried about Miami's half-court offense.
Yeah.
Can Jimmy Butler be better than Jason Tatum for a series? Maybe. Boston minus 175 to win the Eastern Conference. Heat plus 145. It's a little surprising to me. Just because, again, Miami has home court and a rest advantage.
Yeah.
Although I will
it's
say,
be a
like
defensive it, series.
Although, yeah, no, like I mean, these over under, like these games are going to be in the 80s,
yeah,
80s and 90s. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you had one game finished like 88-86 or something like that. I will say for the Heat, in almost every playoff series they've probably ever been in, they've had a coaching advantage. Maybe not, you know, against like Popovich in like 14-15, just because Popovich was still at the top of his game. But like Spoelstra has been like a top 3 coach in the league basically the last decade. Not sure he's got an advantage over Ime Udoka, though. Udoka's been pretty damn good.
He's been really good.
And we just don't know, like, how good he is, like, what his ceiling is yet.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's his first year, but he's done a hell of a job. So that coaching matchup's going to be pretty fun. On the Western Conference side, Golden State minus 220, Mavericks plus 185. There's going to be an upset, in my opinion. Like, one of the Heat and Mavericks will be back in the finals. In my opinion, one of them is at least going to make it. I don't think both favorites win.
Yeah.
Could we get a rematch of 06? Dallas versus Miami. D-Wade and Dirk there in the front row.
Ooh.
Enemies again. Hour 1 of the books. We'll kick off hour 2 of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.